This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. And here are the headlines from some stories we're following here today at NPR News. The head of the United Auto Workers said today General Motors could fail by the end of this month unless Congress acts now to help automakers. He appeared with the CEOs of the Big Three on Capitol Hill to seek a $34 billion bailout. And the Bank of England cut interest rates by 1 percentage point today, bringing the rate down to 2%. That's the lowest interest rates have been there since the 1950s. The move is an attempt to prevent Britain going into a prolonged recession. You can hear details on those stories and, of course, much more later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday. Ira Flatow will be here for a look at how happiness spreads in social networks, plus a talk with preeminent biologist E.O. Wilson on his new book, The Superorganism, and a farewell to the Phoenix Mars lander. That's all coming up tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. 2 weeks ago, a troubled teenager named Abraham Briggs took a fatal combination of pills and lay down to die. He did it in front of an audience. At least 100 people watching on a webcam saw him declare his intention to kill himself and then take the lethal overdose. It was 12 hours before police were notified, broke into his room, and by then it was too late. The story raises questions about the intersection between anonymity and responsibility on the web. And while some worry deeply about why those who watched Briggs kill himself failed to act, writer Ayelet Waldman has a very different experience in some of her darkest days. She joins us in just a moment. And we want to hear from you. If you ever confessed to suicidal thoughts on the web, did you find people supportive or not? Have you ever felt the need to step in after reading about someone you thought was in danger? Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You can also join the conversation on our website. Just go to npr.org and click on Talk of the Nation. Ayelet Waldman is a writer, blogger, and the author of the upcoming book, Bad Mother. She joins us from the studios of UC Berkeley School of Journalism, and nice to have you on the program today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And we should note that you, like Abraham Briggs, suffer from bipolar disorder, and that while his viewers didn't act, your online readers did. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, it was a number of years ago when I was keeping a blog called Bad Mother, the same title as my book. And what happened was I posted a long piece about suicide and bipolar disorder. And in the course of the piece, I wrote, and I'll just quote this tiny bit of it, "It does not help to know that one's mood is a mystery of neurochemistry when one is tallying the contents of the medicine cabinet and evaluating the neurotoxic effects of a Tylenol, Topamax, SSRI, and Ambien cocktail." What happened when I made that post was within hours. It might have been even less time than that. A woman who I met online, with whom I had met her in person afterwards, but we began our friendship on the internet in an email circle that I had in another, not through the blog, but through another online community. And she read the blog post and she called me. And she refused to hang up the phone until I telephoned my psychiatrist. And what had happened was I was having a medication adjustment problem. So the suicidal impulse was solved by taking a single pill, essentially. But if she had not made that call, I wouldn't have called my psychiatrist. And when the phone rang, I was holding in my lap, you know, basically the contents of, you know, just what I wrote, Tylenol, Topamax, SSRIs, and Ambien in a lethal cocktail.
And so your friend, your reader, your
yes.
audience, if you will.
Cyber buddy.
Yeah. they intervened.
Yes. And not just this one woman. Others did too. Other people, one other person who had my phone number called me, and people posted on the blog wonderfully supportive emails that over the course of that night and then later on really did bring me out of the darkest place I've ever been in.
And that raises questions about why those people intervened with you and why 2 weeks ago nobody called the police for Abraham Briggs.
Well, you know, there are a lot of reasons. I imagine that one of them is simply a question of he was a young man and the people in my online community were primarily adults and they were primarily women. And, you know, when one is searching for compassion, maybe adolescent boys are not necessarily the place most likely to find it. But I think it's also just a function of the the diversity we find in any community, internet or otherwise. So if someone climbs out on a window ledge, there are going to be people shouting at the bottom, jump, jump, jump. And there are also going to be people risking their lives to come to save them. So I think it's not so much a function of the internet so much as the way the internet heightens our natural impulses.
Hmm. That's interesting. The friction that a lot of people have talked about when writing email, it's so easy to do and so quick to do that we
Absolutely.
Don't necessarily realize that we've added a lot of heat to it by not editing mm-hmm. ourselves.
And that's even more intense. Over email, there's sort of a moment between, you know, you get the message when you sit down. And when you're on a message board or when you're in, making posts on these websites, on the comment pages, there isn't even that break. So you see things get very, very heated, and they can get very heated about all sorts of ridiculous. I mean, I have watched people and even participated myself in these flame wars over things like breastfeeding versus bottle feeding or, which kind of diaper you use. And it all becomes very emotional and intensified because it's on the internet. And I think, there are a lot of reasons for that. There's the anonymity is surely a large part of it. But there's also this way that I think we're just beginning to understand how we can participate in something that is so widespread and in such a community while at the same time being ourselves in a very intimate place. I mean, you're home or at the office, you're in your, you're in your pajamas as often as not. And you feel alone. You feel like you have privacy, but you are participating in a community that in many cases is much larger than your regular live action community.
In a way, you're broadcasting.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Let's see if we get some listeners in on this conversation. We're talking with Ayelet Waldman, the author of the forthcoming book, Bad Mother. If you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. Josh is on the line. Josh calling us from Indianapolis.
Hi there. Just wanted to make a couple statements about the Abraham Biggs case. First of all, it's absolutely horrific what happened. But I was actually online and witnessed it as it was unfolding. I was at work that day, and I jumped onto the forum that I've been a member of for years that Abraham was also a member of. It was around noon, and I came into that thread, and in the preface, the section that he had posted in a massive, massive website, it was a joke section. And over the course of years, people have gotten involved in a series of one-upmanships, coming out with more outlandish, more made-up stories. And Abraham was also, he had partaken in that as well. I mean, he'd come up with all kinds of outlandish situations. So at first, people thought it was a joke.
But it was, just to clarify, you're saying it was a place where people frequently posted jokes and tried to be more and more outrageous, and including him.
That's including him. Oh, definitely him. And that was, out of this massive website that had thousands of sections, that's all this section was devoted to. It was nothing but a section just devoted for this. And Abraham had, just a couple months before he had posted that, he was running away. Actually, about a year ago, he was running away, and he needed places to stay across America on his travels. And then, find out later, he posted, oh, it was just a joke, et cetera. And that's just one instance. But,
now, is this the Justin TV where he actually did the live streaming video,
no.
Or this is the bodybuilding website?
This was on a bodybuilding website, mm-hmm. And what eventually happened, and one of the worst things that's been reported is, people didn't sit there and watch him for this long, just maliciously not calling in. The problem was nobody knew his name, his phone number, his state. We didn't know any personal information about him. And then there was actually a 17-year-old kid from India had remembered where Abraham had posted his cell phone number about a year in the past. And the 17-year-old happened to find this number, and frantically was trying to call it. He couldn't make an out-of-country call. He was trying to get his dad's cell phone. He posted his cell phone number, and within minutes, I was actually the first one that had called into the Miami Police Department, and they then transferred me to Broward, and I was able to call the paramedics, and they were there 20 minutes later. But, most of us were frantically trying to figure out where, it was just some anonymous person on the internet that most people thought was a joke and a horribly, miscalculated, politically incorrect joke, but albeit still a joke. I mean, all of us would have still taken that 5 minutes over our time to, you know, save this kid's life just in case.
But, I mean, so when we read that there were, you know, inappropriate jokes told about this from the people who were watching it, your belief is that those people thought this was a put-on?
Oh, for sure. That's what happens there. I mean, if anybody actually went to this forum and saw on a day-to-day basis the kind of things that go on, most of them, I mean, I'll be the first to admit, are politically incorrect. A lot of them can be in bad taste, but this is the forum that Abraham chose to be a part of. These very same people that make these jokes in any other section, in any other scenario, would have been the first one to, you know, jump to it. But it was just a shame that he chose to reach out in that section. I mean, it's a horrible shame that. And like I said, we would have done something a lot sooner if anybody could have. It was completely anonymous. There was no information. It just took one kid to remember, one out of thousands and millions of people on this forum, he recognized him and remembered, hey, you know, he put his number out there a year ago, and he dug that up from a year in the past. And and from a different context, the very fact that Abraham was on that forum, if we had found that kid had found that number sooner, the very fact that he was on it from could have actually saved his life.
His father has written that he thought that the son was making a call for help and that he was cruelly ignored. I think it's a person's life that we're talking about, he said. And as a human being, you don't just watch someone in trouble and sit back and just watch. You're saying he's not understanding what was going on.
And I agree. I mean, if anybody was sitting there for hours watching Abraham, that could have actually helped, and that was what happened. I mean, that's absolutely atrocious. I mean, I couldn't sleep for nights even being involved in this. I mean, just for the couple minutes that I was, like I said, I signed on at noon. I saw what was happening, and minutes after I signed on, just, you know, to see what was going on in the bodybuilding forum, I wasn't going there to sign up for suicide, for God's sake. But I mean, this thread was getting so much attention. I saw the number posted minutes after I got there, and I called the Miami Police Department to see, you know, if there's anything they could do. But I mean, before that, in the previous hours, I mean, nobody knew anything about him other than it's an anonymous person on the internet. If people were, I mean, sitting there maliciously watching this, and there was some way they could help, I mean, that's absolutely inexcusable.
Ayala, you were going to ask something?
Yeah, I was going to say that I think also we saw there a kind of internet version of the bystander effect. The bystander effect is something that sociologists have written about, particularly in the wake of the murder of Kitty Genovese. She was the woman who was murdered in front of 38 New Yorkers watching out of their windows. And
back in the 60s.
Back in the 60s, I think 50s actually. Hmm. But the bystander effect is there's this. The more people watching, the less of a chance there is that an individual will take action, because that individual is comforted by the notion that surely someone else is making the call. Surely someone else is going to do that. And I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, an online community is so large, and this online community was so large, that I imagine that there were individuals in that crowd who allowed themselves not to take action because they felt, well, surely someone else is picking up the phone.
Kitty Genovese, 1964 in Kew Gardens in New York. Josh, certainly glad somebody made the call. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We're talking with Ayelet Waldman about support and lack of support on the internet for people in trouble. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Pete. Pete with us in Baton Rouge in Louisiana.
Hi. My wife died in January in a car wreck, and she was a member of a lot of online communities. And they all got together and helped me out so much after she died. Like, they put together a fund online, and I got $6,000+ from it. And they gave me teddy bears for the kids. I had two kids. One of them was 2 months old, and one of them was 2 years old when she died. And they gave me, you know, they made scrapbooks and just sent me all of these great things to help me remember my wife and help the kids remember their wife, their mother. So, you know, there's a good side to the internet, and a lot of people are out there, and the communities actually, they help a lot.
Sorry for the loss, Pete.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for that.
All right.
The numbers of people The anonymity that you write about and you've talked about, Ayel at Waldman, that has a lot to do with it. If people are anonymous, it is so much easier to be diffident. If people are known, as Pete was saying, his wife was known to these people, as people, you're reading your bad mommy blog, your bad mom blog knew you, it's much more difficult.
Absolutely. I have gotten a lot of responses to different things that I've written, both, you know, very positive and very negative responses. And I can tell you that without exception, the really, truly negative, scary negative responses only ever come from people who are either anonymous or use a sort of a pseudonym that's obviously a pseudonym. And I think that but these kinds of online communities, like the one that Pete's wife was involved in, these are real communities. I think people who don't participate in them don't understand the kind of depth of emotional connection that can be reached with someone with whom you communicate only, you know, through your fingers and online. And there's a tendency, I think, particularly among older people, to say that though that's not a real relationship. But as we saw with what happened with that tragic story, it is a real relationship, and it can be a tremendous comfort. I mean, I've gone to the internet to seek advice and comfort on so many different issues. I mean, things from, you know, the sublime to the ridiculous, from online support groups about bipolar disorder, where I was looking for help evaluating the side effects of a different medication. And I can say quite confidently that my own psychiatrist has learned things from things that I found out on, you know, one website in particular, Crazy Meds. But to, you know, how to feed my dog raw chicken bones. I mean, there's such a variety. And it's true that there can be an intense negative sort of flame war atmosphere on occasions. And there can be this kind of callousness that we saw in this terrible tragedy with Abraham Briggs. But there's also a true opportunity for connection. And, I mean, think of how remarkable that must have felt to Pete in this moment of complete devastating solitude to have people he probably never even heard of reach out to him in that way.
Ayel at Waldman, thank you very much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Ayel at Waldman's book, Bad Mother, comes out next spring. To read an essay about her online experience and comment on it, you can go to npr.org. She was with us today from the studios of the UC Berkeley School of Journalism. And today we say goodbye to our intrepid intern, Bethany Chafin. She's had a whirlwind tour with us. She traveled with us to Virginia, to the museum from time to time, and of course, that well-trod path between our offices and right here into Studio 3A. She will be missed, and we thank her for her efforts on our behalf. Tomorrow, it's Science Friday, and Ira Flatow will be here. We'll see you again on Monday. Have a good weekend, everybody. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.